CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fired Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And Fired Up with CJ. Log on, firedupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
Believe. On CBS Radio's The Sky. Sky.
Welcome back to Fired Up with CJ. Today, we have Dr. Suzanne Goh, a pediatric neurologist, and Susan DeLand sharing their book, Spectacular Bond, Reaching the Child with Autism. I'm Cassandra, and I would love to talk to you. You can get with us on Facebook. You can either go to New Sky Radio or Fired Up with CJ if you have any comments about this show or any previous shows of CJ, or you can go to her website, I was giving our website out again. Ours is newskyradio.com, but CJ's is Fired Up with CJ, and you can get more information on our guest today from her website.
Well, thank you, Cassandra. Welcome back, everybody. So we were talking about the Spectacular Bond program, and the thing that's so amazing about this program, and I frankly, as a person, I'm like, really? That seems hard to believe, but this program claims that you will be able to see visible changes in your child from between 2 and 4 weeks and entirely new behaviors in 3 months. And so, I don't know, it sounded like something we might see on a late night TV commercial. It sounded almost too good to be true. So we're going to find out, is this true? We're going to hear about Susan's experience, who has a daughter who she brought in at age 3 to Columbia University and actually went through this program. So welcome back, ladies.
Thank you.
So it almost seems too good to be true. Tell us a little bit about what you've seen in terms of the results. Like, what are the kind of visible changes that folks can anticipate in 2 or 4 weeks? And what are the new behaviors that they can get in 3 months?
Sure. Well, I think the biggest thing is that you need to focus on changing your behavior with the child. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to get started, but if you follow the steps in the book, you can do it. And what you'll see is if you start changing the way you interact with your child, and like a good example would be that you stop asking questions, you simplify things, you're kind of quieter, the child ends up quite quickly noticing that things are different around here. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens within the first 2 to 4 weeks. The child realizes by simplifying his or her life that the world is not as scary as it used to be, and therefore they become calmer and are able to interact, you know, or begin to interact. And so you really can see your child kind of becoming that calmer. And I think that's the biggest thing you see at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they get that new kind of controlled calmness, they can move on to, within a few months, having, you know, being able to control their own self, you know, stimming behaviors, mm-hmm. their other tantrums, their meltdowns. If you reframe the relationship and their environment, then you really do see this kind of result that quickly.
Well, so actually, you actually see less of the symptoms. I mean, because in some ways what you're doing is completely changing the environment that they're working in so that they feel calmer and more relaxed because you're taking out the stimulation that you were providing as a parent. Is that right?
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. So in your book, you talk about kids having to be between 2 and 6. That's the ideal time for parents to start this program. So tell us why that's so, and what happens if your kids are outside of that range?
That's a great question. I think it's best to start with a child in that age range, 2 to 6, for a number of reasons. The first one would be that at that point, the negative patterns that the child has are less ingrained than they would be when they're older. Mm-hmm. So they're easier for you to help change. Mm-hmm. Similarly, there, I'm sure Suzanne can elaborate more on the fact that in those early years, the brain can rapidly change. Mm-hmm. So that's always ideal. Your brain does continue to change it after that, but there's particularly rapid progress from 2 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there is some physical contact that the Spectacular Bond program entails. So to the extent the child is small, you know, physically small, and if they were to resist, it's not too hard to control them when they're little.
Right.
All that being said, there are, you know, it's not like a child older than six cannot benefit from this. In fact, it may just take a little longer. But we did just recently, I think this last week, we got an email from a family that had begun working with their daughter who is nine. And the mother was just delighted at the progress she'd seen with her daughter at that age. So by no means is it, you know, something that someone with an older child should not look into. But, you know, we had just cited that as the ideal time frame.
Yeah, and I actually saw a video in which I think it was like a 12 or 13-year-old boy who was going through the program and had made pretty remarkable changes, as you claim, in a really short time. And he seemed to have kind of a relaxed temperament to begin with. Do you know what I mean? Like, he seemed to be mild on the spectrum. Not, I'm diagnosing now as Dr. CJ, but what do I know? But he did seem to actually show pretty good progress. I don't know if you've seen, I know, I'm sure you're familiar with the video, but he was age, what, 12 or 13, I think it was. It was a boy that I saw. Anyhow, so let's talk a little bit about your program in terms, you know, of all the different treatment plans you're talking about. There's ones that are focused on behavior and some that are focused on medical and bio, biomedical stuff. Yours is focused on behavior. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, got it. And so, and you address all of these things, the self-stimulating, the tuning out behavior, and the language. Do you emphasize each of those three things equally, or is it kind of, you don't even think about it this way, it's kind of an integrated program? How do you think about the program?
You know, we try to lay it out step by step so that, you know, one part of the program, for example, we refer to them as elements of the program. So element one is all about things that the parent can do to simplify both the physical environment and also the interpersonal environment.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that is to help the, it basically recognizes that a lot of what the child is doing in terms of tuning out is trying to keep out noxious stimuli. So if we can reduce that stimuli, then they do become more available and more aware.
So that's the element one. And I guess leading us back to what Susan was saying, you are the noxious stimuli asking the questions. Are you okay?
Right.
You want a cookie? So so the first, and this is what you're saying about having disciplined behavior, right? I mean, frankly, you are the noxious stimuli for your kid. So your kid doesn't trust you, right? It's like, who are you and why do you keep on asking me questions? Leave me alone. I don't know.
And so it, you know, what you have to do is take a staged approach. So in the beginning, you know, reducing the complexity of your of all the questions and gestures and the sometimes parents are in a pattern of using very effusive praise and affection, thinking that that will draw the child out when in fact it's overwhelming the child.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about modifying the parent's own behavior just in the beginning. Because, you know, as a child becomes more available and, you know, as time goes on, then, you, of course, you can, you know, resume some of that affection and so forth. But it's just in the beginning, when the child is still very vulnerable, trying to create a world that's much more friendly and
yeah.
They can be much more comfortable.
Well, I think that some of the things that I notice in the step one that were interesting is linguistically we do things. Like we'll say, what do you think about going to the park today? And the kid here's like, mom, 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 park. You know, like, you know, they're just probably like, don't ask me that question. Just like those 15 words just gave me a headache versus saying like, let's go to the park. Let's go to the park today or go to the park. You know, so it's just simplifying even your language, right, is part of the first step.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's such an important step. And it's counterintuitive because parents and a lot of professionals think that you should shower the child with language. And to a degree, that's true. You do need to provide, you know, examples of good language so that it provides a model for them. But to do so in a way that's not overwhelming. And that's what we try to teach in the program because it is sort of counterintuitive and it does have to be very carefully crafted.
Yeah, and so there's how many steps? Tell us about some of the other steps that are part of the program.
So there's, as we said, element one is about simplifying the world.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the other steps deal with how to handle meltdowns and temper tantrums.
Mm-hmm.
We have one step that's very unique but very powerful, and we call that quiet sitting.
Yeah, it's like a meditation, it seemed like, from reading it, which is
awesome.
That's
right. That's right. And most people think, you know, that these children aren't capable of something like meditation or quiet sitting. But it's a really integral part of the program. And parents tell us, you know, I never thought my child would be able to sit quietly for 10 minutes. And yet,
yeah,
through the steps of the program, they're able to do it, and they enjoy it. It brings them a great deal of calm.
Yeah, it gives their parents probably a great deal of calm, too, right? Everyone should
right.
be sitting quietly.
Yes.
We'd probably all be better off if we sat quietly for, I think, what is it, 15 minutes? I can't remember how many
yes.
minutes during a day that you sit quietly. And it seems like that would, if your basic issue is about overstimulation, that would be so nice to just have moments of complete, utter silence.
Yes.
And you know, an appreciation if your parent, they're there, but, you know, they're not talking, they're not moving, you're just sitting in a chair. I think maybe my husband and I will try this. That's probably a good idea. All right, and then managing meltdowns is the second one, sitting quietly, and then the last is organizing the day. Is that, that's the last part.
Yes, and what that does is it helps, because there are many different elements to the program, that last one helps to structure the day so that, you know, a parent is really prepared, knows what will happen throughout the course of the day, is well prepared, knows how to handle anything that may come up. And so it puts them in a position of control again, when
mm-hmm.
so much of life with a child, you know, when a child has autism, may seem out of control.
Mm-hmm. It seems like you would have, and I was asking Susan this during the break, it seems like you would have to have a fair amount of discipline to make this work, because it's almost like you're trying to provide a balance. It's a balance of these four different areas, like alone time, one-on-one time, one in which they have complete control over. So that's the ideal recipe, sort of speak, for the child. But then it seems like you would have to be really disciplined to make this happen. Is that true?
Yeah, I would say you do, but the beauty of the program is that you don't need to be doing these various steps very much during the course of a single day. You know,
mm-hmm.
within the day, there's not, if you just kind of have broad guidelines of what you're going to do, that's enough. And the book provides some wonderful charts and sample daily activities that can help you frame that. But mm-hmm. in terms of actually having to have a regimented day, it's not that full a task for you.
Right. When there's a schedule that's provided, so that you can kind of follow it. But it's still, I mean, you'd have to be on top of those things so that your
yep.
kid is, because that way, it seems like part of what you're trying to do is build a reliable, trust-filled relationship. And so if every day is different and you're like, oh, I have to go shopping, so I'm not going to do this day, it kind of it's kind of unfair for your kid, because they would want you to kind of follow the plan, right? It's best for them if you follow the plan. Seems like
yes.
it.
Consistency
yeah.
is really important. It's important
yeah.
for any kind of any goal, you know, especially behavior change.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a
okay.
diet.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly like that. So stay in tune. So next we're going to be talking about what you can expect if you try out this program. So to get more shows like this, make sure to go to www.fireduppwithcj.com. We have a whole bunch of really great parenting programs. We'll be right back.